That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 360. Sportsnet.ca/590. And Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Yes, indeed. It's the last day of July, July 31. Brady and Walker, welcome to it. Glad you could be with us. 3 hours until MLB's non-waiver trade deadline hits. And, of course, the Blue Jays have done their business already. Think about this, and I never really preach. Preachers are, well, if you want preaching, you know where to go for preaching. You don't want it from sports radio. You don't want it from most talk radio. But I'm begging and kind of pleading, which becomes preaching. Let's live in the now on this David Price thing, can we? I tried to make a deal yesterday with folks. I won't tell you how hard it'll be to re-sign David Price for the next 7 years at $200 gazillion. I won't do that if you don't tell me how easy it'll be. I hear people say, hey, after his start, let's drive him around on the Gardner and show him some parks. And David Price will make his way around the city. We want him focused on baseball and the 11 starts and being a great teammate. And I don't think we're going to have a problem with that. Why do we have so much trouble living in the now? I watched a movie the other night, really quick. It's called While We're Young. Ben Stiller's in it. Who else is in it? Oh, it's so good. Adam Horowitz from the Beastie Boys is in it. And the Adam Horowitz character is a new dad, and he makes the point, all the same people who tell you childbirth is awesome are there to tell you about a month later, hey, don't worry, it gets better. That's what sports is like sometimes. We're stressed about these prospects all week long. I hear about Hoffman, Boyd, Norris, what if, what if, what if. I'm like that too, I admit. I love Monday mornings. I feel kind of guilty about that. I like Friday afternoons, and I like Monday mornings. I like going on vacation, and I love coming back. Let's just live in the now on this David Price thing. You can like life fast, and you can be a sports fan who likes life fast. Let's take it, like the athlete says, one day at a time, one game at a time, one inning at a time with David Price. Let's enjoy this. It has been 22 years. Even if you might not think this is a wonderful deal for the Jays' long-term future, let's live in the now on this. Sometimes it's about being here now.
This is Brady and Walker. Online at sportsnet.ca/590. On TV at Sportsnet 360. And on your radio at Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Got something to say? Say it on Twitter at Brady and Walker. Or text 590-590. Now here are Greg Brady and Andrew Walker.
Yeah, forgive me if that did get a little Jerry Falwell-ish, Oral Roberts-ish. I know. Oral Roberts, hell of a football team. Going to do great things this year. Might even be a BCS. They've expanded the BCS playoffs, so you never know with Oral Roberts University. They get out of the gate early. It is great to be here. It is fantastic to be here. This was a really exciting day to be here yesterday. I think tonight will be a lot of fun, and the Jays are one up in their series. Unbeaten with Tulowitzki in the lineup. And David Price, who we thought we'd hear from today, as a reminder. We had an idea that David Price would speak today. Doesn't look like that's going to happen now. He got a flat tire on the drive. He's somehow making it from Baltimore to the great city of Toronto on a Friday. By the way, if you wanted to keep David Price, you would make this deal earlier in the week, and you would do it, I don't know, like, if there's a good reason to shut down this HOV lane madness, isn't the acquisition of David Price one such idea? Like if David Price gets a ticket in the HOV, I know what you're going to tell me, he can afford it. But I'm also going to tell you what an annoyance that would be. Like, David Price driving in from the eastbound Gardner on a Friday at 4:30 p.m., you want him to stay in Toronto? Do I have this right? We should have flown him in and dropped him out of an airplane with a parachute. You don't want to risk, messing around with your asset too much. I don't think jumping. It's one thing for the Bills to do with Rex Ryan. Listen, if something hopefully not ever sort of goes wrong, you still got a great defense. But I don't think that would be the case with David Price. We're excited to see David here. Monday is probably the day. Can you get around that concept that this is about the now for the Toronto Blue Jays? And it's tricky, too, because the naysayers have a tough time living in the now. And I admit I'm throwing myself on the gauntlet here. I know how hard it is for me sometimes. Didn't we struggle with this so much with the Phil Kessel trade in this city? Didn't we? The Roy Halladay trade was made in late 09. And I remember having a prospect guy on another station, and he was sort of to me, I'm not sure they got enough. There's nothing to help this Major League ball club right now. There's nothing to help it in 2011. And as it turned out, Alex Anthopoulos, as brilliant as many of his transactions would be and have been, cannot hit a home run every time he's up at the plate. He cannot do that if he's a general manager. I struggle so much, and it's not a fair thing. It's not a fair label to put on general managers as, well, there's a couple geniuses in the league, and then there's everybody else. Billy Bean isn't going to give Alex Anthopoulos Josh Donaldson. The Marlins weren't going to give them Reyes, Burley, Johnson, Bonifacio, remember him, and all that good stuff without a reason. So we want to get your sense as to whether you can do this. Do you feel confident you can do this from the negative side? Not worry about what, because I got even accused the other night. I'm like, wow, Syndergaard's got a perfect game through six. Stop being negative about R.A. Dickey. Huh? I've kind of moved on from that. You just have a great pitcher with the New York Mets. And the time was right to try something. It was the wrong thing to try, but it's something. Okay? You know how kids try sports? Sometimes they don't like all the sports. They don't like what they're trying. It was still worth trying. You don't pull the kid out of baseball after 3 years and say, well, we never should have put him in baseball. No, he gained something in those 3 years of baseball. She gained something in those 4 years of soccer. Now it's time to move on and do something else. I dropped playing ice hockey like a bad habit, like a, you know, like your proverbial bad habit in the fall of 84. I've even went and started looking at equipment that year. And then I just sort of didn't want to do it. I played 1 year of Bantam, 1 year of body contact. Didn't want to play a second year, even though I would have been one of the bigger kids coming around for a second year of body contact. I wasn't a bad tennis player. I said, can I play tennis instead? What can we afford it? My parents were teachers. I grew up very middle class. Can I play 2 nights a week inside, 3 nights a week inside? I don't regret a second of playing hockey as a kid. So it's like that a little bit with a sports transaction. This could go really badly wrong. Sure, it could. Absolutely, it could. I don't expect it to. I think the Blue Jays now have about a 50 to 55% chance to make the playoffs. If you want to know, it's not 85 or 90. It's not. It's not. There's going to be runs. And hey, last night's a great start. Great way to start it. Great pitching out. Marco Estrada. Like, honestly, what can you say about him? We won't be talking, no matter how the season ends, about Marco Estrada enough and what he's meant to this ball club this year, stabilizing the pitching when a lot of lame performances were put up by other pitchers on this particular baseball team. Our number's 416-870-0590. Star 590. 1-888-666-0590. Can you live in the now with this David Price transaction? Hearing about 2 days ago, I'll lay it out for me, because I have no hesitation in this. Fans are like, you didn't think he was coming. Well, I'm glad I was wrong. It's fun to be wrong sometimes in this business. You can't be wrong too often. You can't say things you don't feel. You shouldn't fake controversy, outrage, anger, emotion, but you can be wrong. You can guess wrong about how something's going to go. Happens all the time with drafts. One of the most fun things I think Andrew and I do is take a look at a draft, recap it, and say, wow, wouldn't have done this now in retrospect. St. Louis, Eric Johnson, nope, Jonathan Toews. That's who you take, and if you don't take him, you take Nick Backstrom. Those kind of things are fun for me to do. I mean, the question was asked of Troy Tulowitzki the other day about Ricky Romero and the Blue Jays taking Ricky Romero instead of Troy Tulowitzki. Not a lot of people in this city, though Tulowitzki was fantastic. Remember when Ricky Romero went to the All-Star game in 2011? You're like, nah, not terrible. That's okay. Romero's doing fine for us. It's the ace of the rotation. The number one starter thing's quite interesting as well. A lot of people have pointed out, Cathal Kelly's a friend of mine, and he wrote in the Globe, he thinks the Jays have now only had four number one starters in their 40 years. I would put Pat Henkin in there as the fifth, and I would add A.J. Burnett. I think they had a 1-1A with Halladay and Burnett, at least a couple of those A.J. Burnett seasons. A.J. Burnett would have been one of the best 9 or 10 starting pitchers in the American League, in a more difficult league to be a very good starting pitcher in. Can you live in the now on this deal? Can you also keep the expectations low? We're going to talk about that after 3 o'clock today, especially with the trade deadline and maybe more trades coming. The Yankees may do more than the very little they have done so far. They may do a lot more. Houston made a fantastic trade yesterday that I want to talk about in a little bit. The Astros are in great shape. The team that should be worried are the LA Angels of Anaheim. With Houston 2 games up on them, they've whipped them the last 2 nights. They're done with that series now, I think. I can't remember where Houston moves on to tonight, but the Astros are playing fantastic baseball. And they may have to give something up to get. They always do. But the deal they made was outstanding, and I want to explain it. They're hosting Arizona tonight, first of three, against the D-backs, who are strangely rumored to be in on Aroldis Chapman because they think he'd stay there and they think he would extend. And the Diamondbacks and Mariners have spent a lot of money in the offseason the last 2 years, very fruitlessly. They haven't got a lot of payback for the money that they have indeed spent. But also with the Blue Jays, I mentioned temper expectations. Be really cautious about, hey, this is the third best Blue Jays team ever, right behind 92 and 93. Got to really be careful about that stuff, don't we? I'm not even sure the 87 team that didn't win the division wasn't deeper, had better starting pitching, had more players in their prime. The 93 team especially, that was Hired Gun City, HGC. That's what that was. A lot of nice homegrown talent. But most players were traded within the last 2 or 3 years. They were deadline deals. Today's the anniversary of Ricky Henderson for Steve Carsey. Celebrate appropriately. 416-870-0590, *590. Can you live in the now on David Price? This is what this is. 11-12 starts. Can you not stress about whether he's extending? Can you not guarantee me he's extending? I will not tell you how minuscule the chances are that he'll extend. Okay? I want to call a truce on that. I want to talk about this team. I really do. People said to me yesterday, what a great day for you guys. That was fun. You know, people on TV, people on radio, really fun. It was. No one's going to lie. No matter how anybody thinks everybody feels, hey, you guys should want the teams to do better. Hey, stop being negative and cheering against the teams. It's really fun. We want the teams to do well, okay? We got to talk objectively about them. The best people are talking objectively about them, okay? You don't have stereotypes. You don't have personal favorites. You don't have, hey, he's a good guy, so I root for him to do well. You really got to minimize that. You have to. Andrew and I can say this completely. We're not going to prep any less hard when people are like, hey, slow news day. There have been a lot of slow news days since, say, the Stanley Cup ended, since the NBA Finals ended. But you get a 3-hour show. So, yeah, yesterday's an easy show to prepare for, react to, have opinions on. I'm not pleased for this. This is a story for the media. I'm thrilled for the fans, okay? Because I don't go as often as some of you do. I don't watch every game all the way through as some of you do. I'm not buying the merchandise as some of you do. It's amazing for you guys to feel hope, to feel a sense of presence that all those Roy Halladay years, when did you really think a Roy Halladay-led pitching rotation was good enough and had the team beside it well enough to make the playoffs? Ever? I mean, they had their moments where they were up in the division 4 or 5 games in May. You always knew it wouldn't last. We all feel differently about this team based on the last 36 hours. We have to admit that. David in Oakville starts us off. We'll have Buck Martinez in a little bit. Go ahead, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Good. Love your show.
Thank you.
I'm a diehard Jays fan for a long time, but no way out. It just costs us too much on the trade for Price, and no way he's going to resign. I think you'll see Gibby and Alex, this will be definitely their last years. Rogers is going to have
why
to realize
did, so
that.
Do you think Price won't perform as well, or
no.
You just think the
why? Because there's no deep. We have sometimes our defense is good, sometimes it's not. But I guarantee it. No way. He knows he's a rental player. He knows at the end of the year he could walk. So why should he try to perform for Toronto?
Because he's got tremendous incentive to maximize the contract. I watched Max Scherzer pitch last night for the Washington Nationals. They won 1-0 in their game. They're trying to hold off the New York Mets. Mets are trying to acquire people to go after the Nationals. Max Scherzer was nothing short of fantastic. He knew he was leaving Detroit. Guys, no. I mean, the idea that a rental player doesn't put all the eggs in the basket and really go for it. You don't think he wants a World Series? He's been to a World Series. He didn't get a start in the World Series. So, again, it's not really about the price. I think Daniel Norris is going to be fine. I'm not buying the stuff about Daniel Norris. There is a concern, and I've read this in a few places in Detroit, from very independent scouts, not Tiger scouts, not Blue Jays scouts, that they feel Daniel Norris was mishandled here, that he was rushed. Remember how last week I talked about two words, fast-tracked, rushed. Like if you're working on a project at your office, You say, let's fast track this. That sounds really cool, eh? It sounds really good. Everybody kind of nods, grabs another bagel or Danish or a croissant. Can't beat those croissants. But you're excited if you fast track something. If you say, you know what, let's rush this through. That sounds negative. That doesn't sound as positive, right? It's amazing how words, a simple word that means the same thing, can change the perspective. We dealt with this with that nothing story about Jose Bautista. Anyone talking about Jose Bautista now? I was ready to talk about it yesterday, since he might want to, you know, shut the clubhouse to the media. I'd want to shut the clubhouse to the media a lot of the time too, okay? I didn't get in the business to go with a bunch of guys, mostly, for better or worse, and have beers with. I came in because I wanted to talk about sports, and I love sports. But admittedly, Jose Bautista's got it right about some of the people that probably cover the Blue Jays, right? There's agendas. Of course there are. So nothing drives me battier than people saying the media this and the media that. And that's the only thing I was irritated about Jose with was, we're not all the media. Name the names. Who's bothering you? I've had athletes do that. I love it. Send me an email. I've had a Detroit Red Wing player send me an email. A Detroit Piston player send me an email. What'd you mean about this when you were on the air? This is almost before texting. Write them back and I say, here's what I said. I'll explain it further the next time I see you in the locker room. It's an easy thing to you know, and that's not when Ken Griffey Jr. wanted to beat the hell out of me. That's a totally different story. Daniel in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan on Brady and Walker. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hey, my friend, how are you?
Great, thank you.
I got to say, I totally agree with you about living in the now and the last caller not agreeing with it. I think my point is, I think sports fans in general or fans of a particular team like the Blue Jays, we kind of lose sight of what we're there for. We're there to root for the team, hope they do well, and of course be entertained. And I think some people get it confused, and being a fan of the Blue Jays means you need to play general manager, but you know, prospects are calculated what ifs, but for me as a Blue Jay fan, I want to watch really good talent and increase the odds of winning. And that's essentially exactly what this trade does. It gives us an opportunity to break this 22-year drought. Are we losing a couple of calculated what ifs? Yes, but those are the stresses of a general manager. They shouldn't be the stress of a fan.
I can't tell where it's at. It's a great thought. I can't tell if it's fantasy sports. I can't tell if it's just access to more stuff. I can't tell if it's just there's more opinions out there that matter. You know, when you're a kid and you're watching baseball, I'm going, whose opinions do I care about? Peter Gammons, pick up the Sporting News, right? Sport Magazine. There's Joe Garagiola and Tony Kubek. Right. There's Jim Houston. There's, you know, there's Buck Martinez. There's Tony Kubek. There's Fergie Oliver. We only had so many voices back then. And that's the weird thing about it now is there's so many loud voices. So you're always going to have dissension on one thing or another. Either way it looks. The drama tonight, Kansas City Royals fans probably kind of take center stage tonight because they want to see Johnny Cueto pitch. We want to see David Price on Sunday or Monday. They want to see Johnny Cueto pitch. We'll talk to the always enigmatic Rex Hudler in the 2 o'clock hour, but we're very pleased to have the aforementioned Buck Martinez on, who will call tonight's game, as he did last night, Royals-Jays Game 2. Great to have you on, Buck. Really appreciate it.
Great. Good to be with you. How are you today?
Yeah, really, really good. I'll tell you what, everyone is so adrenalized. You guys were in the booth last night. The fans were. Part of the fun of this is that it's got such inherent risk to it. It's a 52-51 team. I find that kind of exciting. People have compared this, Buck, to the David Cohn trade, et cetera, et cetera. The David Cohn trade wasn't meant to win the division. It was meant to win the World Series. I think this is a really unique trade in Blue Jays history yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it is a kind of a roll of the dice, but you're sitting at the high stakes table, that's for sure, because you've given up an awful lot of good young talent. But I can understand Alex's position. You know, the speculation is his job's on the line. And you know what? You have an opportunity. I think everybody is in agreement that the division is winnable. There's no question about that. Nobody looks to be dominant. Yeah, I know the Yankees have separated themselves from the rest of the division, but I don't think anybody thinks that they're going to run away and hide. I don't think anybody expects them to play like the Orioles did in the second half of the season last year. So I think it's a good move, getting Tulowitzki and David Price. I think it really fortifies your roster and gives you a chance to see what this team's all about.
Yeah, I can only imagine, and it's something that, you know, we all work with new numbers sometimes in baseball. I think all the information is good. You can keep some, discard others, emphasize some. But what we can't emphasize is how players feel. We can't. There's no way to quantify it. I don't doubt every player, every veteran, whether they've been here a year and a half, Buck, or 8 years in that clubhouse, felt differently about their goals and the achievement of those goals yesterday.
Oh, no question. I think you could see it on the field. We saw it certainly during batting practice. The team was energized. And when you have that kind of attitude, you know, it's only going to help you. You know, you feel like, okay, we have gotten the help we needed. And sure, you'd like to add more pieces, but is that possible? We'll find out in another couple of hours. But with the way the bullpen is pitching right now, with the way it's set up, having Osuna, Sanchez, Schultz, and now LaTroy Hawkins down there, it really looks to be a formidable bullpen, and I think that's going to enhance things. Plus, with Tulowitzki's defense, it's short, and it you know, it really has tightened up the defense, and I think it's going to help the pitchers an awful lot.
Really unsung has been Brett Cecil, right? He hasn't given up a run since June 21st. He's been a lot more consistent. He's walked one batter in the entire month of July. What have you seen from him where it's just, it looks like the Brett Cecil of old? It looks like all-star Brett Cecil, or even when he was a very good starter for this team.
Yeah, I agree with you, Greg. I think that's the big thing. He's comfortable now in his situation. He knows what situations he's going to pitch in, like last night. He came in to close out the sixth, and then it's Hawkins, Sanchez, and Osuna. That's a pretty good formula. And I think you bring Brett in to face those left-handers, he's going to have a lot of success, and it's going to be a short stint. He's going to be working with a very low pitch count. I think that'll get his velocity back up to where it was in 13, like you were referring to. But he's got a great curveball, and I think he's got the confidence that he can pitch out of these jams.
Buck Martinez joining us. Johnny Cueto tonight for the Kansas City Royals. That'll be an awful lot of fun to see him line up. The Royals play with some swagger too, don't they? It's been remarkable from going and getting James Shields a couple years ago. It didn't work out for them. Their 12, Buck, was a little like the Jays 13. They sort of retooled, remodeled, went for it, and it sometimes it doesn't happen that first year.
No, you're right. And you know, there's so many things that factor into it. You know, there's a lot of luck involved, but I think you're right about the swagger. You see the Royals walk around now, and most of their homegrown players are in their fifth season in the big leagues, and they know what it's all about now. They've been through the postseason. They won a wild card game when they were down by 4 runs, and then they beat the Angels, and they advanced to the World Series, and they were, you know, the tying run was standing at third base in Game 7 in the ninth inning, and I think they enjoyed that experience, and they have taken a lot from it. Now they walk around with the confidence they can play anywhere, beat anybody on any given day.
Just some quick news, and we don't know what it's for, Buck, but I can let you know, because I should. The Blue Jays have acquired from the Seattle Mariners Mark Lowe, a reliever, more a 7th, 8th inning guy. No save situations this year, but 34 outings this year and a 1 ERA so far.
He's got good stuff. We just saw him on this last trip, and you know, it's interesting how teams, you know, you have a wish list, and then you go to the store and you see that something else is on sale and it can help you. And that bullpen now is fortified with another hard throwing right hander. So it's another good move. I think anytime you can add a quality arm like Lowe's, I think it's going to help the bullpen.
Yeah, it's tough to guess. And all we can do, I suppose, is that, and you guys will be able to do it to you and Pat tonight, as to how this affects a Cecil, who we talked about, a Sanchez, a Hawkins, but it's depth, it's another arm, and we'll see what goes back the other way. But and you can't blame Seattle for being sellers. Not much has gone their way the last 2 seasons, despite upping their budget.
With the big signings of Cano and Cruz, it hasn't translated into wins, and you thought that was going to be the case because it always been a pretty good pitching ball club, but so far it hasn't worked out for them.
I'll let you run and process this quick on Devin Travis. It's obviously goes on the DL retroactive to July 29th. What does this mean? A lot more Ryan Goins at second? Is that the option that the Jays have, and they're that's what they've got to utilize, really, isn't it?
Yes, Ryan's going to get the opportunity to play at second. Gibby told me that the other day, that if Devin indeed went on the disabled list, Goins would be the guy at second. He's earned that right. He's played very well wherever they've played him. He's swinging the bat much better, and I'm anxious to see him. Mm. Nobody wants to lose Devin Travis. He's a terrific player and going to be for a long time, but he cannot play with his shoulder the way it is right now, so it's best to get it healthy again, and it's something that looks like he's going to have to address in the off season, whether it's a different kind of strengthening or whether or not they look at that shoulder internally to see what the problem is. But the second time he's had to deal with this year.
Hey, tonight's going to be so fun. I hope you have a great call. It'll be electric. Be electric all weekend, and when we see David potentially on Monday afternoon against the Twins, if that's when it indeed happens. Thanks for this, Buck.
All right, Greg, you have a great day.
Buck Martinez, he's great. That was some really insightful stuff. As mentioned, the Blue Jays acquire Mark Lowe from the Seattle Mariners, attempting to get a sense of what they gave up. We'll try and get it right for you. That's more important than getting it first, with Devin Travis on the DL. But the guy's got great numbers, and you can. It's difficult to say they'll give up too much for Mark Lowe, but we'll wait and find out. That's probably the best thing to do, one way or the other. Why don't we? We'll come back. We're going to talk about the NHL and the Olympics, which gets dealt another blow. Most people didn't think they were going to South Korea in 2018. There is a World Cup in this city next summer, for which tickets may actually go on sale sooner than you think. I'll have news on that. We'll do best and worst. And Jim Callis, senior writer at MLB.com, will join us, and we'll continue to chase this story. But Mark Lowe is now a Blue Jay, 32-year-old right-handed pitcher coming from the Seattle Mariners. More a setup guy in the seventh and eighth than anything else. He does have 5 career major league saves. But last time he did that was last time he had a save was back in 2011 with Texas. He really hasn't been put in that position. I don't think the Blue Jays do it. It's Blue Jays Royals tonight. Don't forget that. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. How could you? Johnny Cueto against Drew Hutchison as the Blue Jays try and maneuver a little bit closer to the New York Yankees or the Houston Astros. The Yankees are on the south side playing the White Sox tonight. More on MLB trade deadline day. We'll keep you posted on all the big deals to come. The Jays have just made one in the last few minutes. More of your thoughts as well, 416-870-0590. It's Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360.
Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more Brady and Walker. On your TV at Sportsnet 360, online at sportsnet.ca/590, and on your radio at Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Busy stuff, I think. No question, busy stuff. Dan Heron, the Cali guy with the Florida, Miami Marlins, I should say, off to the Chicago Cubs, per several reports, has a 3.42 ERA this year and a whip of 109, well below league average. He's hopped around a lot, but the Chicago Cubs will push him into their rotation. If you're wondering where the Cubs are, everyone would like to see the Cubs back in. I don't know many people that hate the Chicago Cubs. They're 54-47. You could possibly get both wild cards out of the NL Central. It'd be the first time it happens, but the Cubs right now are 2 games back of San Francisco, who seem destined to go back to the playoffs, and they don't always. They won 3 World Series and have missed the playoffs 2 of those subsequent 3 years. This is that third year. Cubs are also 5 games behind the Pittsburgh Pirates to potentially host the wild card. And that's sort of where we were at with the Toronto Blue Jays in noting that now maybe it's not Houston you have to catch, because the Astros are rolling. They're 7 games up on the Blue Jays right now. But the good news is they're leading the AL West, and the wildcard team are the 55-46, 8 losses in their last 12 games, LA Angels, who have the wildcard hosting duties by 2 games over Minnesota. Toronto and Baltimore are 2 games back, Tampa 3, Detroit and Chicago 3.5 back each. Is Detroit going to start suddenly being terrible? They should be worse after trading Yonas Cespedes today. That's the only thing to do. Price really high on him right now. Orioles a team in on Cespedes. The Mets a team in on Cespedes. Obviously, if you're the Toronto Blue Jays, there's not enough left to go get Yonas Cespedes, and it isn't a considerable need, but you don't want to see Baltimore with him. You don't want to see Minnesota with him. And even you wouldn't want to see the LA Angels with him. Get him on out of the American League and send him to the senior circuit. We'll talk to Jim Callis in just a little bit. If you missed it off the end of the last segment on Brady and Walker, the Blue Jays acquire Mark Lowe. It's apparently for minor leaguers only. Mark Lowe's a righty reliever who's had a little bit of a renaissance, hopped up and down between the minors, both in the Angels organization and for the Tribe last year. And Mark Lowe's been very, very good. His splits are great. His strikeouts per 9 innings is great, 11.8 strikeouts per 9 innings. He has pitched 36 innings and given up 4 earned runs, just the 1 home run. Seattle's a harder park to hit home runs in than the Rogers Center, quite obviously. But Steven asked me on Twitter, who's this bad for on the Jays rotation? Again with the negativity. It's not. Are you in the media? Who's it bad for? I don't think it's bad for Bo Schultz. It's probably bad for Ryan Tepera. Many were surprised that Steve Delabar was shipped to Buffalo, not Ryan Tepera. It's probably worse for Ryan Tepera than Bo Schultz. Though their numbers are a lot more similar, Schultz's are slightly better than you might think, although Tapera has a better whip. Tapera throws a little more of a variety of pitches for a righty. But it just feels like Bo Schultz seems like a little more of a favorite of John Gibbons to utilize. So if this is the end and everyone stays healthy, your bullpen would look to me like Mark Lowe, the new guy, Bo Schultz, Brett Cecil, Roberto Osuna, probably Liam Hendricks, and Aaron Sanchez. Will it involve Aaron Loop? Is this bad news for Aaron Loop? Difficult to say as well, but it's a lefty arm. How many lefty arms are you going to want in your bullpen? There's two in Loop and Cecil. You're not going with one in a six-man bullpen. You're not going with five righties and one lefty. So unless you have an option in the bullpen that's better than Aaron Loop, and do I think you can find one? Maybe so. Maybe Matt Boyd would have been brought up to do bullpen work. You don't know that, whether he would have or not in September. It's not an option anymore. Jim Callison a little bit in other news, and there is. So Beijing gets awarded the 2022 Olympics. They'll host the Winter Games. They're going to South Korea, to Pyeongchang first. What are we talking? 3 years? 2 years from next February. And then Beijing will host in 2022. It's very quick to get an Olympics, even after hosting a summer one. Although L.A. in 84 and Lake Placid in 80 is the exception to the rule. There's exceptions to every rule. But there's sort of like concern about Beijing. Did you see the story yesterday about the water in Brazil for next summer's Summer Olympics? There's going to be some open water swims, even being near the water where you're rowing and kayaking and canoeing and variations of that. A lot of sewage in the water. It's one thing to clean up property, right? And unfortunately, the Olympics always leave a sort of a nasty legacy of let's get the homeless people off the street. Ergo Atlanta, 1996. Let's move people out of their houses. Here's a check. It's not worth what your house is worth, but we need you to go in Sochi, in a couple other places. And it often leaves white elephant venues, doesn't it? Sarajevo, I always point to as the example in 84, that Olympics where we like didn't win medals except for Gaëtan Boucher, basically. And 88 was better in Calgary. But it's a very odd thing because we just had the Summer Games 7 years ago in Beijing this summer. So it's the first city to host both versions of the Games. What's it mean for you if you're an NHL fan? Well, I don't think it changes very, very much at all. I think the NHL was finished with the Olympics. If you're Canadian, I suppose it was a great way to end it, being that dominant in Sochi last year. But I don't think they're going back. I've never have thought they were going to South Korea. It doesn't make sense when you can have a World Cup, and the NHLPA can share in the spoils, and the NHL gets to keep the money, because that wasn't going to keep. That was never going to happen with the IOC. Okay, the NBA doesn't get a massive check for sending all their players over to the Olympics next year in Brazil. Of course, there's some global benefits. There's some sharing, I suppose, of resources, of promotional stuff, of brand stuff. And Adidas likes it, Nike likes it, Reebok likes it, everybody likes it who's got a shoe company. They don't mind that. But there's no such push, especially not in prime time when games are on. If anybody remembers Nagano, it was a grind to get through those games. I'm an East Coast person. I've always lived on Eastern time, traveled out to West, traveled to Europe a lot. So everybody goes through that, but never for more than a month at a time somewhere else. Spent 5 weeks in England the first time I went. And then you get used to when North American sporting events are going to be. But they can't do this and get the coverage they want, the live presentations they want. And think about 1998 also. Did you have an email address in 1998? If you did, you barely did. Did your office place have, DSL? No, probably dial-up. Remember the sound of dial-up? Yes, you do. You don't, of course. You've got mail. It was ridiculous. So no Twitter, no nothing, no social media. You could actually keep games a secret if you wanted to. I remember falling asleep the Canada-Czech Republic semifinal game, taping it on the VHS, waking up and obviously rewinding it. Probably now I'd check my phone, because my phone is my watch. My phone is my weather forecaster and my watch. So I check the time, I check the weather, and inevitably I'd screw up and somebody'd be like, wow, Canada lost. You'd see a text or something like that. So it's there's not as many people that are going to be into watching live NHL hockey at 2 in the morning Eastern time. They don't want that. In Europe, do they want 8 a.m. games? No, they don't either. So probably it for the NHL. They'll host the World Cup here in Toronto next year, and probably it'll rotate around and be in a few other places. We're going to do best and worst in about 6 minutes, but the trades do keep coming. If you missed it, the Blue Jays did acquire Mark Lowe from the Seattle Mariners. We're going to try and find out very soon what goes back the other way, but it bolsters a bullpen. Don't think it's a set inning spot for Mark Lowe one way or the other. The excellent Jim Callis is a senior writer at MLB.com, also for MLBPipeline.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jim Callis MLB. His specialty, his forte, is the draft. It is prospects, and he's kind enough to join us now on Brady and Walker and Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360. Jim, a great fan of your work. Thanks for making time on a busy, busy day today.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate all the kind words. Thanks.
Happy to, yeah. I mean, where should we double back to? Why don't we double back to the Troy Tulowitzki, as excited as people are, seemed like yesterday's news or 3 days ago's news yesterday. With
it was like 3 months ago because there's been so many trades.
Yeah, it's like that 8 years ago when they made the Josh Donaldson deal. It's weird how it's happened here in Toronto. We're not always used to this. Tell me first about the giving up of Hoffman in the Tulowitzki deal. There's no doubt, Alex Anthopoulos told me yesterday, he cringed when he had to do it. He's going to cringe when he watches future starts. He had risen up the ranks. He was already thought of as being having a great future, but had risen up the ranks this year, hadn't he?
He had. I think he was the best starting pitching prospect in the Jays system when they traded him. I mean, we're talking about a guy that had he not had Tommy John surgery last May, never would have been available for the Blue Jays with the 9th overall pick in the draft. And he would have been a candidate to go number one. He might be a Cub right now instead of Kyle Schwarber. And I think the really impressive thing is that Hoffman came back on the mound so quickly and pretty much picked where he left off, not missing as many bats as you would have thought. You know, I don't think his command is super sharp. But, you know, upper 90s fastball, you know, sharp breaking stuff, throwing strikes, it's all there. So, I mean, he showed you everything you were hoping for.
It's Jim Callis joining us, senior writer at MLB.com. It feels like there has been some fluctuation. At one point, Sanchez was a lower prospect than Daniel Norris. Daniel Norris now seems to be, given that he's going to start in Baltimore for the Tigers on Sunday. This happens sometimes, and you always got to give up to get. But had the organization soured's too strong a word, but had they seen things they didn't necessarily like about Daniel Norris and how he was pitching?
No, I don't think that's what it was. I think it's just a case that they had a chance to get David Price, and David Price is what you're hoping Daniel Norris can be. I personally like Daniel Norris more than I like Aaron Sanchez.
Yeah.
I think Sanchez has a little bit stronger arm, but I think he wanted to be in a reliever in the long run. I've never been impressed with his control and command, and that's why Norris was in AAA working on it. But, I mean, Norris, to me, is a guy who could have three-plus pitches as a lefty. You know, fastball, slider, changeup, really like him a lot.
It looked like Baseball Prospectus, I should say, had ranked the Blue Jays 10th as a farm system coming into this spring in Dunedin. It's going to that ranking will drop. Some of the rankings aren't all about drafting. How good a drafter has Alex Anthopoulos been in your estimation over the last 6 years?
Okay. I mean, they've had guys they haven't signed, you know, like Phil Bickford and Tyler Beattie, who went on to become first round picks, but they've done okay. I think if you were stacking them up, and I have not stacked up all 30 teams, I mean, I think because of the guys they haven't signed, they probably would factor in, you know, I wouldn't think any better than average, but, you know, they've had, I mean, Anthony Alford's a pick who looks like he's going to pay off. Sean Reed Foley looks like he's going to pay off. You know, they've traded guys, so you don't see them in the farm system now, but, they've certainly been aggressive in the draft. I think that's what stands out as much as anything.
It's happened in the, I would say it's happened in the NHL where in Europe, there aren't many secrets anymore. Everybody scouts the same countries. Everybody sees the same players. The World Juniors, the Under-18s, they're real showcase events. Would you say that's the same with where all 30 Major League Baseball teams are at? Are there still teams trying to, I suppose for lack of a better term, Jim, do this on the cheap that just won't put in to send guys out on the road, that just won't do the video work and the internet work that other teams will do?
No, I think everybody works pretty hard. I mean, you now have a system, you know, with the new CBA where you're limited, you know, on what you can spend on the draft, where in the past you could spend whatever you wanted. So it's actually created more parity because the teams that were ultra-aggressive, you know, the Pirates, you know, now that they're winning, especially getting lower picks, can't be as aggressive as they were. The Nationals can't be as aggressive as they were. The Royals can't be as aggressive as they were. But also pulls up the teams that weren't spending on the draft at all, like the White Sox and Mets are now spending their full allotment. So it kind of brings everybody more back to the, I guess, the middle of the pack. And, you know, the fact remains, you know, this hasn't changed even under the new system. The draft is the most cost-effective way to build a team. It's a lot cheaper than going out and signing free agents or scrambling to make trades. And if you want to go the trade route, it's certainly the best way to get ammunition. You have to put the time and the money and the effort into the draft, or it's going to come back and haunt your team.
Are there teams right now that you're shocked? Maybe it's beneath the surface to some extent so far, and we'll know in a few hours, that haven't been more active, that you expect to be more aggressive. I'd list the Dodgers. If they're in on David Price with the Blue Jays, surely it's not David Price or nobody. They want to bolster their starting pitching some way, somehow.
Yeah, although they did make that big 13-team trade where they somehow managed to basically give up a $62 million Cuban defector as the key guy they gave up and a decent prospect, and got, you know, two starters, and Matt Latos and Alex Wood, two bullpen guys in Johnson and Avalon, and the best prospect in the deal, Jose Peraza. They've done pretty good. I think the team that everybody's really waiting on is the Padres. Are they going to be buyers? Are they going to be sellers? Looks like there's going to be some major trades coming from the Padres. You know, we'll see. There's rumors of a three-team Cubs-Red Sox deal that may or may not happen. But I think the Padres are the team that has not done anything yet that will probably make some noise. We only have about 2 hours till the deadline, right?
Yeah, it's coming right away. Is there a move for the Yankees to make? They have no interest in dealing their best pitcher at AAA, nor should they. But is there a move that they could make that kind of counters or blocks some of what the Jays are doing, some of what the Orioles may still do?
We'll have to see. It's one thing to say, well, we'd love to be players for, say, Craig Kimbrell or Justin Upton or whoever, but we don't want to give up our best prospects. Maybe that tune will change. Michael Pineda got hurt. They need starters. I personally would call Luis Severino up and put him in the rotation. We'll see. It's kind of like the draft signing deadline. Sometimes you get both sides to dig in, and one side gives as it gets closer to the deadline, and we'll know in the next couple hours.
Hey, Jim, greatly appreciate it. I'll let you go and check your phone, scour the computer. We really appreciate the time and the insight today.
Okay, thank you very much.
There's Jim Callis joining us on Brady and Walker. Yeah, Luis Severino, we talked about him yesterday. Jeff Blair had some great thoughts on him, and we were working together. 11 starts, 7-0, 191 ERA, and 0.93 whip. And with Michael Pineda going on the DL, may not be a September call-up. He may be an August call-up down in Scranton right now at AAA. Let's do best and worst from last night in baseball.
Best,
David Price.
And worst,
David Clarkson.
With Brady and Walker.
That seems like a cheap shot, or is it just the ultimate in accuracy? Not sure one way or the other. I've lost my script, so let's throw them up on TV, and I will remember what I wrote earlier on for best and worst. You can go anywhere you want. Oh, yeah, best player. That, I've got it back. Max Scherzer, fantastic in a 1-0 start and a win over Miami. He goes on the road down to that. You know, he's not distracted by the aquarium behind home plate. Ryan Zimmerman had a solo home run in this one. People are kind of not talking about the Nationals enough, and they are a team in the market, potentially, for Yonis Cespedes. 7 shutout innings, 6 strikeouts, just the 3 walks. Let's get to worst player of the night. There were several candidates. Who'd we give it to? Oh, yeah. Miguel Gonzalez for Baltimore. 9-7 loss to the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers weren't too shook up giving up David Price. As mentioned, Daniel Norris will start for the Tigers on Sunday at Camden Yards. But this is a problem. Chris Tillman hurt as well. And Miguel Gonzalez has been very ineffective lately. 3 1/3 innings, 5 runs given up, and only struck out 1 in those 10 outs. Best win, let's give it to the Minnesota Twins. They are holding off the Blue Jays right now, and able to do so mostly because of their bats. Their bats were great early in the season, but a very important win more late last night. They got the job done against the Seattle Mariners, 9-5 to get the victory. They're here Monday in what may be David Price's debut. And worst loss, the Chicago White Sox. Robin Ventura, right? These former players. We talked about Alan Trammell yesterday, Ryan Sandberg. He let Chris, it's obvious they're keeping Chris Sale. And last night, not exactly a showcase start, but it was sort of like leaving Patrick Waugh in that game in the fall of 95. Chris Sale didn't get any help. 5 innings, 12 hits, 7 runs given up. They were pounded by the Red Sox last night. 2 o'clock hour to come. Rex Hudler, more trades, more on why the Astros really won the day yesterday, at least second place to the Toronto Blue Jays. More Brady and Walker to come on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360.